into Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.
Welcome to the Chew Bomb Podcast with your hosts, Marcus and Marisol. We are strong, powerful, disciplined. We are cheerleaders.
Take 251 on episode... Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol. Reporting live from Marisol's Core.
We're in my Prius recording this intro for this week's podcast because my dog was very, very bad. Sweet
dog. He's so needy, but he's so sweet.
He's gorgeous, and I love him to death. But you know how they have those like emotional dogs that for the adults that they bring their dogs everywhere? Yeah. It's like the reverse with us. Like he follows me everywhere, and I adore him and I love him. But God, he's horrible to podcast around. So we're in our Prius, in my Prius. So, which I'm in here all the time traveling to competitions. So it seems fitting.
So it's perfect.
Podcast number 4.
How exciting is this?
We got Jimbo on. Jimbo from Woodward, and he's
Top Gun, Ohio.
Top Gun, Ohio, and it's a fabulous interview. We could have gone on and on with him. He was brilliant.
I could literally listen to him talk like all day. I would love to go up to his gym and just like watch him coach and see like.
So let's tell our audience on the podcast. Mm-hmm. This week's interview is Jimbo
Kelleher
from he's the director at Woodward Camp, and he's also the coach
at Top Gun, Ohio.
And he's brilliant, and it was a wonderful podcast interview, and we're excited for you guys to listen to it. He was on my daughter Lola went to Woodward last summer. Mm-hmm. For the first time, and when I asked her, when we were talking about this podcast, who's your wish list, you know, and after a couple of cheer celebrities, as I call
couple
them.
Hundred.
he was like in the top 10 people that she wanted, or maybe really? Even top 5. And when he and I spoke prior to setting up the interview, her reaction was to jump up and run to her room, like nervous. And which is not like her. You know Lola.
No, not at all. She is not shy whatsoever.
And she was circling us when we were on the phone with Kennedy Thames. So what I still don't know, even after the interview with Jimbo, was why for her as a cheerleader, mm-hmm. she was so, I don't know if enamored is the right word, but so like blown away by him. Mm-hmm. And I still don't, like I get it because now that I've spoken to him on the interview, I get that he's, you know, brilliant, great coach, but I don't think they work together at Woodward. So I'm like, what did she see?
But he's like, he is Mr. Woodward. So.
Yeah. So I guess it's all. But yeah, it was a great interview, and I'm excited for everyone to listen to it. So what's up with you, Marcus?
Really just getting practices done, getting ready for competitions. We have a couple nationals coming up, so that's exciting. We had a really good weekend, like 2 weekends ago at Maxim, and yeah. It was great.
The gym swept. They did great. Yeah, I didn't, it wasn't my weekend to go with my daughter, and I was okay with it. Even though they won, and you mm-hmm. would say, oh, you missed them winning. No, I'm okay. I was okay with it. Because I didn't go to that competition at that particular gym, but last year there was the one that was similar to it. I remember leaving there with a migraine because mm-hmm. the facility was,
I believe it.
And so I was like, I'm okay. Oh, it didn't fall on my weekend. No problem. Congratulations. But I was very happy. I was happy for the gym. I was happy for Lola. It was, I was happy for you and for all the coaches. So.
Yeah, we got a couple choreography awards also. Yay. So like that made me feel
sweet.
insane. So it was a great weekend.
Yeah.
But you, on the other hand,
I know,
just came back from New York.
I know. I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed. I am. I went to New York with my twins, whose actual birthday is today. Mm-hmm. 16 years old. They're 16 years old.
Oh, goodness.
By the way, I look pretty damn good. Excuse my language for that. Having 16-year-olds. I just want to say.
Absolutely.
But we went to see Hamilton and Waitress in New York. That was their sweet 16.
With Sarah Bareilles.
And Jason Mraz.
I hate you so much.
And Hamilton was amazing. It was a year in the making to go see this for us. And I was a little afraid of the hype, that it mm-hmm. was not going to live up to it. But no, I besides loving, you know, musical theater and Broadway and the arts, I really just love watching anyone do what they were meant to do. Mm-hmm. Like when you see someone living their dream, you know, like I've talked to you, when I see you interviewing, you know, you get so excited and cheerleading. When I see anyone doing what they love doing, I just love it. I just love that energy. I love it. So, and see all that talent is just...
I wish I was able to sing. Yeah. Oh, that's like literally all I want. I wanted so hard to be on Broadway. I knew for sure I was going to dance for Britney Spears or Janet, or I would be so happy to be like in the ensemble on Broadway. Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That is totally fine.
I can't sing either. I did dance growing up, and I was surrounded. I went to a performing arts school, and I was surrounded by musical theater. Some of my best friends mm-hmm. were in musical theater. And I didn't have that capacity. I can't sing or act. Neither one of those. Are talents that I was blessed with, but I appreciate the heck out of them. Like, I love it. I just love it. I love everything about it. So it was a wonderful, mm-hmm. it was a wonderful trip. And I'm just, my kids are probably sick of me now listening to the soundtrack over and over. Like, I haven't listened to the news or pop radio.
I've been listening to the Greatest Showman soundtrack since I saw it like a month ago.
You and Lola both. She's really? Listening to it all the time.
I'm like literally obsessed.
Yeah. There was that one song. She actually mentioned your name. I forgot what song it was. But it was funny. Yeah. She loves musicals as well. So it was good. It was a great trip.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, and she brought me back some playbills. So I'm so excited. I'm going to hang them up in my bedroom like I'm 12 years old.
I saw this ad for pajamas that are made out of playbills.
I thought of you. I saw that too.
Yeah, I was like, maybe. Maybe for Christmas. So what else is going on?
Snapchat's freaking update. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yes, let's do that because it's topical.
Are
you not a fan?
No,
I haven't figured it out yet. I barely figured out the original Snapchat. I felt like a cyclops when I first downloaded it. I was like, I didn't know where I was supposed to look. I think that's one of the generational things.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so
I have so many questions about Snapchat.
So you click on the Snapchat app and you normally like swipe to the right to like see your people's stories. Now like it would be, you have to like swipe left to see it. And I don't know, old habits. And so it's just taking me a second to.
I don't like it. I can't find the few friends I had on Snapchat. I don't know where they are. I keep seeing Kylie Jenner's Snapchat, which I'm like, I don't even follow her. So I think because I see like the, now they, or the way it looks to me is you see like, people's stories that are famous. I don't know how to say it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. On Discover.
Yeah, the Discover is what shows up, and I can't find my people.
Okay, so you have to, like, swipe left and go to, like, where, like, you would normally, like, see where you sent people Snapchats.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their stories are. And sometimes they, like, go into the next person. I thought we got rid of that, like, 2 years ago.
I'm not like, that's why you're in charge of the social media, because I am not I'll jump on Snapchat every once in a while. I'll play music. Like if there's a song that I really mm-hmm. am enjoying, I'll play it. I play with the filters, but I don't, you know, I don't do streaks. That my kids did or do, and I did not understand that. I'm like, why?
I think my longest streak was like 60 something days, and that was with my cousin. Yeah. And then there's just aren't that many hours in the day.
I just didn't understand the value of it. Like, I understand they get a trophy or something.
I think so.
But the anxiety around that I saw around my kids in the streaks, I'm like, are you getting pleasure from it? It'd be like, oh my God, my streaks. And or like if they lost their phone privileges and I would take their phone away, oh my God, I have to set up, someone has to
my streak.
You know what? I just never got it. Don't understand it. I just accept that. So Snapchat is, you know, I have it, and I'm glad that you manage the account for Cheerbomb. But I would say universally, all my kids hate the new update. So
yeah, I can't do it. Mm. If you are as upset about this update, please let us know on our Instagram or Facebook, because I would like to write them a letter. Dear Mr. Snapchat, change it back.
Change it back. But you know, is it just us having to get used to new things?
I guess. Yeah. But I don't wanna. Why miss it a good thing? It was doing so good.
Are you watching the Olympics?
I have not watched that much. I watched some figure skating last night. My favorite part is probably, I love watching the opening ceremony. Like watching like all of the athletes like and their countries just like walk around, and to see like the people in the crowd like so proud of their country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that, I don't know, that just like, that makes me really excited.
Are you old enough to remember when both the Summer and the Winter Olympics were in the same year?
I don't think so.
Gosh, I feel old. Sorry. I'm only 44. But yeah, I remember that. They split it up into every 2 years between mm-hmm. the two at some point in my life. I don't remember when, but it used to all be together.
Really?
In different countries and so on, but yeah.
Really?
So, little tidbit of history there for you youngins.
I did not know that.
The Winter Olympics, I love... I love... What I love in the coverage are the stories. When they do the backgrounds on the athletes, every single one I love. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff. Yeah. I think everyone has a story. Everyone is interesting. I love to hear it. So I love that. I love ice skating, obviously.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The last few years with the scoring and, you know, the politics of mm-hmm. behind whatever is happening in the skating world, I kind of lost a little bit of interest.
A politics in the skating world.
In the scoring. Oh, scoring. The scoring of it. And I might be totally dating myself, but I just kind of didn't. What, you know, after the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding stuff, I saw the movie I, Tonya.
Oh my God, I want to see that so bad.
It was interesting. It was interesting.
I heard it was funny, though. It was good. Allison Janney's in it, and yeah, like she's freaking hilarious.
It's good. It gives you a perspective. I love seeing perspective. People's perspectives, because any story has multiple perspectives, because everyone brings their life experience to that moment. So seeing that perspective was interesting, and she became sympathetic, which at the time
nobody.
I wonder if the youngins know what I'm talking about. Google it.
Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding.
Yes, the Nancy Kerrigan was. I don't even think she was top. She was in the top three, I would say, best skaters in the world, but she got kneecapped, or is that the right phrasing? She got hit in the kneecap by someone, someone related to Tonya Harding's mm-hmm. camp, and they were, anyway, it was a good story, but going back to the Olympics, curling, I don't understand.
I don't understand. I watched some of that, and if I could sweep that hard, I know my mom would be so excited. But
I appreciate it. Again, I love the pants. See, you know, but I don't know what the heck is going on. The luge, I think, mm-hmm. is awesome. Downhill skiing scares me.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
It's not an activity I like to watch, because I just get anxious. I'm just anxious from the moment they... You know, or up
as
there.
Soon as they start.
Yeah, I'm not.
So we lost Sonny Bono.
Oh, that's true. I remember Sonny Bono was married to Cher, who is an icon in my life.
Absolutely. Ours.
Our life. My musical theater background. You have to. And he was also a senator. He used to have a show with her, but then he became a senator. But anyway, he was skiing. And
he was also in the original Hairspray, but back to senator.
And he hit a tree and died. And this is awful. But I do remember I was working, and this is before memes, before cell phone, smartphones and stuff. But I saw someone sent me an email, an attachment, and it said, it was like from a tree, you know, the chain letter. It's like, we're going to kill someone every week till you stop.
No.
Wasting paper.
Too soon. It was still too soon.
But I did laugh. I probably not the best conversation to have. But the Olympics, I think, one of the beautiful things about the Olympics is to see world-class athletes, which now doing this with cheerleading and interviewing these athletes and their coaches, holy moly.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have world-class athletes in this industry?
Yeah.
When we looked at Caroline's tumbling passes, oh my God.
I can't. She's just awesome. And her tumbling is so beautiful.
But
it's like came out of the womb just like doing handsprings.
She does things with her body that I'm like, how is that fit? Where do you get the aerodynamics to do that? Like, I don't understand. But seeing the world-class athletes, I sort of was wondering about the mental state of a world-class athlete. Like, I know your cousin Darnell, when we had him on, he talked about the mental state of coming to practice with a positive attitude.
Like,
so what is the mental state that these athletes, that these cheerleaders need to come into for the optimal performance, do you think?
Honestly, like a positive attitude, like 100%. Like, I feel like you have to be able to see yourself landing that tumbling pass, see yourself like hitting that stunt, and see yourself just like, honestly, just like working that whole routine out in order for like a positive outcome.
Do you guys do visualizations with the athletes?
You know, at competitions, there have been a couple times when we would just have them like lay around in a circle, close your eyes, and like really just like watch, like listening to the music, like watch the routine like in your head, and just like see all like the good stuff happen. Like, no,
there's scientific data behind the importance of visualization, the connection between the mind and the body. It's world class athletes are taken through the exercise of going through their routines, or, you know, their whatever they're doing. And what I've read is the connection isn't just seeing it, it's the emotions behind it. Like, as you're visualizing it, if you can emotionally feel what it would feel like to hit, to, you know, get that 10 or hit the triple axel or whatever you need to do. if you tie in the emotional feeling with it, with the visualization, is where the magic happens. I thought that was interesting.
That is.
Yeah.
I'll definitely do that more.
It's sort of like, the theory behind it is sort of like muscle memory. Excuse me. How you practice something until your muscles just know it and can do it. It's the emotional and the mental aspect of it tied in. So, I don't know. Maybe...
food for thought for some coaches out there listening and athletes.
And if you do that, let us know, because it would be interesting. I do think I've seen at competitions, I don't know what they're doing, I can't say for sure, but I've seen people, you know, I've seen our teams do it too, where they just get in the, you know, lay down and mark the song. Yeah. So I think visualization is important even outside of any sport. I it's an important part of my life. Because if you can't imagine it, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're about to launch an app.
Yeah.
If I can imagine it.
Okay. If you don't see yourself actually like doing it, then
yeah.
What's the point of doing it?
I had a few, like, gosh, I want to say maybe 3 years ago. I was reading a book and they talked about vision boards, you know, like put all the things that you want in your life on this. And I thought it was hokey, and I thought, psh, like, you know, I'm a big corporate woman. I don't, this is, you know, woo woo stuff. And then I was in therapy. I will always be in there. No, but my, actually it wasn't my therapist. It was a, another, one of my kids' therapists who had suggested doing a vision board for my kids or my, for my kid to do. And she, and actually this child did not do it. But that was like, all right, two times I'd heard vision board in my life. So I was like, you know what? Why not? I said 3 years ago about that, around that time, I decided to change my, just to be open to anything versus being sure of everything and being wrong constantly. Mm-hmm. Being open to everything and just, you know, whatever, just giving it a try. So I did a vision board. And what's so funny is when I came back from New York this week, I was in my office and it's to the right of me, and I look and almost everything on my vision board is happening. Hamilton was mm-hmm. on there. And I mean, I'd done this vision board a few years ago. The company we have was on there. The people that we work, that I work with, that helped us develop the, mm-hmm. their card was on there. I'm ghostwriting a book for someone. His picture was up there. And, I was just kind of like, holy moly. Like, oh, so I guess what I'm saying is, for me personally, visualization in my life, not being an athlete, has worked because, again, if I can see it, if I can visualize it in my life, it's not like, oh, it magically happens, but then I think a seed's planted mm-hmm. somewhere along the line, and then I start working towards it. So,
oh, that's beautiful.
That's my thoughts on visualization.
That's beautiful.
So,
I can't see it, guys.
You can see it. Do we have a Dear Marcus and Mira song?
You know what? We do. This one is it's from a parent.
Sweet.
So for the parents out there, giving it up. Okay. Dear Marcus and Marisol, my daughter has been cheering for a couple of years, and she loves it. She's 13 years old, starts high school in the fall. Along with that comes an attitude. She's been missing assignments in school and talking back to me and her father. I know keeping her from practice is not the best thing, but because this is a team sport, but I want her to understand that this is a privilege. Please help.
What's her sign off? Are we giving her one? What? No.
I was about to say, beat that ass.
Remember, this is for 13 and older. Well, I can speak to two of those mm-hmm. issues. Because you saw today one of my children with attitude. And that's a polite way of saying it. And as a parent, I will say, when my babies were born, they're sweet little, mm-hmm. and then something happens around 11, 12, mm-hmm. where it's like their heads spin around.
Oh my goodness.
Things come out of their mouth that you're like, whoa. And the best advice I ever, ever, ever got was from a friend of mine who had children a few years older than me before my kids hit puberty, said, do not take it personally. Just remember, this is biological. It's a biological thing that's happening. Do not take it personally. Because if you lose your cool, the situation just gets worse. And it was the best advice I ever got. Because when my first child hit puberty, I didn't take it personally. I was like, oh, this isn't about me. You know, in my head, I'm thinking this. She's losing her mind because her body has, you know,
is rebelling against her,
is changing, and she doesn't have 40 years of experience to manage her emotions and hormones, and you gotta love her through it, and you know, so on and so on. And it has helped, because I didn't react, which I think back to my childhood with my mother, it was let's just lay it out here. My generation could not get away with the crap that this generation gets away with now. No,
I believe that.
So it wasn't even an option for me. But in raising my children, I have learned to not take it personally. But the balance of letting them know that it's wrong has been a dance. It's a dance.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like with my child today that was rude as we were getting ready to do this podcast. I know that handling it at that given moment wasn't going to be successful for anyone. Because I know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to let him.
Let's air it out for a second.
Work through, you know, deal with it. And then when he's open to listening to me, circle back and have a conversation about that behavior. That's me. I mean, I'm not a parenting expert by any stretch of the imagination, but that's what I've learned. Because with any of my kids, if they're in a reactive mode, if I show up reactive as well, which I have, I have. I'm not, you know, professing to be.
No, we're human. Absolutely.
But nothing happens if I'm reactive. Mm-hmm. Nothing good happens for anyone if I'm reactive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've learned. The being rude part, it's just not acceptable.
No.
It's not.
Be kind always.
Your parents.
Cinderella.
Your parents. It's an all spiritual text. Respect and honor your parents.
Yeah.
We brought you into this world.
Take you out if we got wanted to.
But I feel for her, because I know with my youngest, the one cheerleader,
yeah,
I can't punish her by keeping her from the gym, because you know, you guys would not be happy with me. And so it's not an option. I don't think, as a cheerleading parent, it is an option. And I've actually just recently said this to Lola with in regards to her grades, that you want to do cheerleading next year, you need to focus on, this is your priority, is, you know.
Yeah, school is very important. Very important, people.
So the only advice I would have is, no, I don't think you can use cheerleading as far as keeping her from practice, mm-hmm, as a discipline. But as an advice to the parent is, first of all, you're doing the best you can. I fundamentally believe that about most parents, even the ones who do things that I don't personally agree with.
Yeah.
We all do the best with what we have. I believe that, you know, with the tools that we have. And the fact that she's writing to us and wants to know, you know, shows that she wants to do what's best,
yeah,
by her kid. So congratulations to you.
Yeah.
The next few years are going to not be.
So good luck.
And I would honestly advise, focus on yourself in those moments when your child is, you know, losing their ever loving mind.
I would have, why don't you go talk to like your daughter's coaches? Because if this is something that she is really into and like really loves, then I for sure believe that like your daughter is going to like, she has like some type of respect for her coaches. I know if a parent like comes up to me and says like, hey, something's going on with
so-and-so,
Susan, so can you just talk to her and like,
and use that relationship.
Yeah. Use that relationship to help with this problem.
Cause it takes a village.
It does.
I do. I firmly believe that with teachers and coaches and so on. I mean, I've messaged you guys sometimes and yeah, like, I don't know what's going on, but so on and so on. So, I would reach out to the coaches. I do think her instinct of not being able to keep her away from practice is true, because you're affecting the whole stunt group.
Yeah.
So, and the whole team.
This is a team sport. And a lot of parents, like, I believe they understand that it is a team sport, but they want to, like, yank the first thing that comes to their head from the child. And
but if this is the first time she's experiencing this with her child, I would also say set the precedent. You know, this is the, like, whatever you're going to, if you don't want her to speak to you in that manner or be disrespectful or not turn in her assignments or whatever, set the precedent. Because, you know, it's, I'm going to speak to girls, even though it was my son today that was being a teenager. But they're learning to handle their emotions. They're learning to handle their hormones. They're learning to handle the workload of school, cheer, so on and so on. And part of that learning is learning how to do it with kindness, love, and authenticity, and, you know, being a pain and being rude and being disrespectful. There's no justification for it. So, or just play her this tape. I bet there's a bunch of moms looking at their daughters right now, like, giving them the sad look. All right, well, dear, beat your butt. Don't beat her butt, and don't take her out of cheer, but definitely stand your ground. Yeah. Be the parent. Be the adult.
Communication. Communication is key. It all starts with a conversation. Hashtag. I feel like I've said that almost every episode.
You should probably make that.
I'm going to start hashtagging that.
Do it.
Starts with a conversation.
And that's a beautiful entryway. Sean, can you put in the Jimbo interview here? And this week on the podcast, I am very happy and honored to have
Top Gun All-Stars coach and Woodward Camps director, Jimbo Kelleher. How's it going, Jimbo?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well, thank you. So I was trying to tell you in a botched attempt of earlier that I was so grateful for you coming on the podcast, but I was also very impressed when I was trying to get you on the podcast, your questions to me, because it showed me that you were really concerned about the content that you would be putting out into the cheerleading world, which is sort of the basis of our brand. And, you know, opening up the content, the depth and the positivity of this industry. And I loved that. I loved how you were, mentioned that what role, you know, what your cheerleaders and the people that work for you on your staff, what you would want for them, when they were representing themselves. And, I was excited. I was super, super excited. Aside from the fact that my little 11-year-old is beyond herself.
I heard you were on her wish list.
That's what I've been told. A normal guy, normal coach, but I feel like, I've probably had the chance of working with her out at Woodward. So hopefully I can keep that going and keep her dreams. I guess not me, but the staff out there and any chance that I get to work with her, keep them a positive light for her, because that's what we got to keep these kids in the cheerleading industry doing, is keep them inspired to move forward. So
inspire. I love, we've had a couple interviews and I love how all of our coaches are saying inspire.
It's like the word of the,
it's the word of like the year.
Well, when you and I spoke a few days ago, and I was actually in the living room with her, and I said, "Oh my gosh, this is Jimbo from Woodward." She yelped and ran into her room, which is not, you know, Lola. That is not normal for her. She's not one to, and I asked her after the phone call, I was like, "Did you work with him at Woodward?" And her eyes got really big and she's like, shook her head like, "No." And I was like, and I obviously wasn't there at Woodward. I dropped her off, but I wasn't there that week. And I was like, did she watch you tumbling? Like, what was it that she saw that made, you know, put you on her wish list of podcast guests? But you have something magical there, because it's been on her Christmas list, on her birthday list. It's still, her birthday's coming up and she's asking her father for a second week. The summer. So you've got something great going on over there, Jimbo. So thank you. So can you tell us how you started in cheerleading?
How I started in cheerleading is, I mean, everybody's stories with cheerleading are a little bit different than your normal, like, hey, your parents pushed you into it kind of thing. But I started cheerleading. I was in college, and I had actually, I played hockey at Kent State University, and I had just gotten back to my dorm from hockey practice, and there was like some people out in the, or some, like a group of people just throwing people around out in the, like the courtyard kind of. And a lot of athletes had to get to school before like your week of welcome anyway. So like it, everybody that was there was a part of something in either athletics or some type of, you know, the kids that move in early. And so they were out there just throwing people around and just interacting. And then I ended up like, hey, what's up, guys? Talking to them. And then they asked if I wanted to do it. And the minute that I started stunting is the minute that I fell in love with cheerleading. It was that day. I'd kind of been around gymnastics growing up and been around like just all sorts of different training elements. For, I guess in cheerleading, the only thing that we really would have is the jumps and tumbling that would cross over. But stunting is where I found my passion again. I have sisters that were gymnasts, and I used to just go to the gym and flip around and do what I could. And then I eventually found a passion in coaching. But when it, how that translated into cheerleading was stunting. That's what caught my eye. And the minute that I tried it, just co-ed stunting, one guy, one girl, I was challenged and I was hooked. So
did you stay on the hockey team and include cheerleading, or did you leave hockey for cheerleading?
Oh, I stayed on the, I'm probably one, it's a weird combination, but I'm probably one of the only athletes at Kent State that ever cheered for the time that I was there and played hockey. Like those are not exactly the,
that's most a common big jump.
You know what?
Common comparison of sports, I guess.
I was you know, kind of Instagram stalking you, which we do with our guests. And, but that kind of ties into what appears to be sort of your life, which is you seem, based on, you know, your Instagram, a full life, you, the cheerleading, the photography. Is it called off-road biking, or am I saying that correctly?
So I ride mountain bikes, and I ride dirt bikes, and I ride, like, bikes in skate parks. Like, I just try to do everything I possibly can to kind of challenge my brain and work out and do everything that I can. Because, I don't know, I guess when I feel inspired by those things, it makes it a lot easier to put that into words when I'm helping other people try it, whether it be cheerleading or riding a dirt bike or, you know, just out there skating for the first time.
Awesome. Mm. Okay, so I have a couple questions about coaching. And you have, you know, some of the best on your staff. And this is just a layman. I have no cheerleading background. Is there a difference, either not necessarily a bad or a good difference, but what are the differences between male coaches and female coaches? And do you think that there's a need for, you know, both in a cheerleader's life?
I think there's more personality types than there are like gender specific. The only reason that I say that is because I'm very, very blessed to work with some of the best and some of the newest that are going to be the next best coaches in the industry, both in gymnastics and cheerleading out at Woodward. I think, you can kind of pick up on what coaches are going to do what in their first couple of years and, you know, the paths that they're going to take, whether that be the kind where they connect with the athlete, and that's usually the girls. And out at camp, we have campers that have been, you know, a part of Woodward for years that then want to apply to be staff. And, you know, we train them on coaching and different things in the gyms, and they don't really realize how much of it they already know because they've been doing it for years. But realistically, when we first hire them, it's, you know, for the Woodward camp experience, which isn't just cheerleading. You know, we need to have camp counselors. We need to have people that like interacting with the kids. And I think overall, that's where it all starts, is your ability to just relate and kind of not stay above, but come down to the kids' level. Even if, you know, they're 7 years old or 14 years old, or even all the way up to 17 or 18 years old, just kind of figure out what level that athlete's on and get on their level so that they're comfortable, you know, listening and taking corrections from you, but at the same time sharing like what they feel so that you can come up with, I guess, an educated guess or an inference as to what you can give them to overcome the next steps that they want to take to be successful, whether it be tumbling, stunting, or even the next set of jumps that they want to do. If they want to be the point jumper or move their jump row up and they don't want to be that back jumper anymore. So I think which is weird because as a judge as well, and as a judge, I almost rarely look at the front anymore because I know that's where people are stacking the good jumpers. So I like to kind of get an even playing field and try to give as many good comments as I can to up their score. But realistically, I think back to the original question of male or female coach, I think males today in the industry are a lot different than 5 years ago. And that's a lot different than 10 years ago when people started coaching in this industry. And it's our industry went into a very spotting heavy, like, frenzy for a while. And while spotting is great and it's good for safety, I like gyms and programs that, you know, spend that extra money or have the ability to get the different training surfaces, not necessarily foam pits, but somewhere where there's a safer landing or a softer landing where it's easier to fall or fail. And I think that once the male side of the industry didn't have to jump in to spot, you know, our taller girls or, you know, our heavier girls that 9 times out of 10, it's more muscle than it is anything else. But I guess it's the personality type more than the gender specific, because I mean, one of my good friends, Callie Seitzer, I've watched her spot a double full on a girl that was 6 inches taller than her. And the girl completely opened up in the air and Callie got her back to her feet completely safe and completely sound, and had the opportunity to just say, hey, like, maybe we should go over onto the resi and work on a couple progressions for this. But I don't think it's necessarily a gender specific thing. I think it's a confidence and ability thing to either relate to the kid or be able to help them understand the progressions to get where they want to be. So I think it's just a personality style.
That's a absolutely fantastic answer.
Wow. Absolutely.
So you have this amazing, unique perspective of seeing cheerleaders from not only as a judge, as at Woodward, at your own gym, from different parts of the country. Do you see anything like geographically? Can you tell a cheerleader that's coming in from, you know, the East Coast, West Coast? Is there something like that that is visual to you, or is that something like, can you tell, oh, this cheerleader came from, you know, this program or so on and so on? Are things like that noticeable?
If I'm just watching them perform, I think that bridge has been gapped over the last couple of years. 5 years ago, I could tell you probably where they were from based on the style of tumbling or the style of stunting or the style of performing that they were doing. I think working, like you said, I get the chance to work with a lot of different athletes, and it's a blessing in my eyes, because I've gotten the chance to, you know, learn the different styles that are coming from different top gyms, small gyms, middle gyms, that they're coaching in either progressions, or if it's just skill-based coaching, or if they're just trying to be motivational. And I think the biggest area that I can pick someone out from is the Northeast. And I'd have to say the South is kind of starting to mix with the West. The West, I mean, the styles of routines and performances that people give, the East Coast has a little bit more attitude. The West Coast has a little bit more performance level, like a little bit more dancey, a little bit more movement.
I totally get that.
But if I was just looking at one athlete, I think that bridge has been gapped. And I think kids are starting to, I mean, you can see it just in the talent level in our younger kids now. There's different styles of progressions that kids are going through at a younger age, that the skill levels are jumping. So I think the biggest way that you can see a difference. So yes, the answer is yes. And I think the biggest way is kind of just in their performance abilities. If you watch somebody from California All-Stars perform a dance, I can tell just that, you know, that's dance is very heavy out West, you know.
Absolutely.
I will say this, the Northeast kids and the way that they bring themselves to the table, their confidence is through the roof. But I mean, you can hear their
parents.
You can hear their parents talk, and it's the same thing. Like, there's certain gyms, they're not necessarily the bigger gyms, it's kind of the smaller gyms, but there's certain gyms that, like, you hear the parents, especially when they come to camp, you know, their vocabulary is something that a girl from the South probably hasn't heard before. So
that's awesome.
Do you have any advice for cheerleaders that, like, want to become coaches?
I think the biggest thing is for, if I had we'll call her Susie. If I had Susie in front of me at the age of 15 or 16, and she said that I want to be a coach when I grow up, or I want to be a coach after I get done cheering, I think the biggest thing is the exact thing that we're trying to teach them already is to understand what they're learning now, because it's only going to help them better. I think the biggest thing right now is we have a lot, we're at the point in our industry where we have a lot of athletes that have done very, very well for themselves, and now they're getting into coaching. And while they were able to do the skills before, maybe they just never, you know, they just kind of, they understand how to do it with their body. They just haven't found out a way to maybe portray that to 7 different styles of kids. They just know how to tell someone that was kind of similar to them. And I think that's the advice that I would give to Susie at 14, 16, or even 18 is figure out how this drill works and figure out what your body's doing, or figure out how this skill works and what your confidence points are, and figure out how to put that into words, and then figure out how to explain it another way and another way and another way, so that you can not be the best at coaching that skill, but you can be the best at explaining it to the 10 different kids that are going to be in your group, or the 8 different kids that are going to actually be working in your stations. That's the biggest thing that we've kind of tried to bridge the gap out of our coaches training programs out at Woodward is, it's starting with the lower levels, cause it's a little bit more comfortable. Cause you don't necessarily have as much hands-on experience in learning forward roles or backward roles, but learning how to develop the vocabulary to explain to a kid what they need to do with the different parts of their body if they didn't understand how to go upside down yet. Because the biggest thing in our industry that kids necessarily get scared of is tumbling. And I mean, mm-hmm. Woodward's a tumbling-based camp, but it's understandable. You don't get up out of bed in the morning and flip down your stairs. You walk. You ask this kid to walk from point A to point B. And they'll do it confidently, but you ask them to do a cartwheel or, you know, a forward roll, or even like the combination of a forward roll into a dive roll scares kids sometimes, just because they're leaving the floor and then going towards the floor at somewhat of an inverted angle. So it's understandable how instinct kicks in. And I mm-hmm. think if I were to help, or if I had any advice for myself, is to learn how to talk to kids of all different styles from the beginning, mm-hmm. for sure.
I think that's insanely valuable, because I'm thinking of my own daughter, and she's a kinesthetic learner. She learns, and I'm talking in her academics as well. If she needs to memorize something and she's jumping up and down while she's trying to memorize it, for some reason her brain works that way. She's very connected to her body. But that's not universal across even my 3 children. So it's everyone learns so differently, every child. So I think that's excellent advice to give coaches, because not every kid's going to learn how to do XYZ the same way. That's my opinion as a non-coach, just a mom.
Absolutely. It's got to be the same as like the score sheet they're competing on. You know, there's got to be multiple ways to get to a 5.0. What are they? There's got to be multiple ways to get a backhand spring or a handstand. What are they?
So we have one more question, and then we're going to throw you over to Marcus for some fire rapid questions. But we've talked a lot about the industry and the changes of the industry. Now, my daughter's only been cheering for 3 years, so I have a really, you know, outside perspective. My background is in marketing, so I do find the cheerleading industry fascinating. It's a market unlike anything I've seen in any other industry. I can see just changes in the 3 years that I've participated as a mom, in a Division II industry. Mm-hmm. And like one of the things I've noticed is, the gym at competitions are these known gyms. Their teams are getting bigger and bigger and across different, states. So eventually I'm like, are they going to buy out? Is it going to basically be, you know, sort of like, and I'm bad with analogies and I'm bad with sports, but is it sort of going to be like, you know, football? Like, are there going to be divisions with the same large, do you understand the question? I'm not sure I'm articulating it, but is that how we see the future going, like just as teams across,
like a bunch of mega gyms.
Yeah, mega gyms that maybe have, you know, in each state, but they're, it'll be so and so versus so and so.
Do you think eventually it will be just like a mega gym versus mega gym industry?
I don't think that that is the end result. No, I think that as coaches education and owner education and all the different platforms that are starting to be created for just communication start to grow. Mm-hmm. I think the people that you know want to figure it out and have the Excel to, or I guess the motivation to figure it out for themselves and create their own platform and kind of grow that, I think those are going to be the people that that really make the make their footprint in the sand and keep walking forward. I think the biggest thing is you hear it all the time, you know, this mega gym is, you know, it's consuming our kids and it's doing this and it's doing that. And it's realistically, most of these mega gyms have been around longer than I've been in cheerleading, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I remember back when I was in college and, you know, I started this whole thing. I remember watching the different Top Gun routines or, you know, the different Cheer Extreme routines and stuff like that. And they've been around for a while, and I think that has a lot to say for what they have figured out and how they have figured out how to market themselves, you know, as a business.
Absolutely.
And if they can create an environment that people want to buy into, that's what a business is. I don't think that they're doing it maliciously. I don't think this isn't speaking for...
I don't think so either.
I think the biggest thing is, we are going to end up in a spot, and this is just my opinion, where, you know, we are going to have what you have called mega gyms, you know, competing in the top divisions for the top spots and this and that all over the place. And I think, you know, as people start to get a little bit more educated on the business, the marketing, the growth, and the coaching side of things, and they start to put their key players, if they can get a hold of some, into spots just like a puzzle that gets completed, I think that more programs will start to grow. I don't think that where we're at right now is where it ends. I think there's plenty of programs that are going to grow and catch up. I just think that cheerleading in general has grown so much that there's going to be a house at the top, and that house is going to be filled with a lot of people, not just one family. So
yeah, and there's 3 million cheerleaders. There's room for everyone.
So it's going to be a big house.
It's going to be a big house for everyone. So Marcus,
the grind is worth it. I promise.
Absolutely.
The grind is what people, that's when people start to quit. You know, I look back now, just take that grind and put it into like learning and coaching. Like there's so many different nights that I found myself just watching gymnastics videos and being like, how can I relay this to a kid that doesn't train 4 hours a night, 5 times a week, and mm-hmm. I get them for an hour once a week, you know, like it's, you just got to figure out how to bridge those gaps.
Jimbo, this has been a fascinating interview for me. I'm so grateful that you came on. I'm going to throw you over for some fast questions from Marcus, but it has been a pleasure. I could talk to you. I have like 1,001 more questions I could ask you. So please plan on coming back next season, because I would love to have you on the podcast and ask more in-depth questions, because you're a wealth of knowledge. So here's Marcus to bring us out with some fun questions for you. Okay.
Let's do it.
Rapid fire. So I just want to hear the first thing that pops in your head. Okay.
Sounds good.
So what's your favorite movie?
Lion King, by far.
Who's your role model? Who's someone you look up to?
In the industry, probably my boss, Victor Rosario, for sure.
He's awesome.
He was just mentioned in an earlier podcast.
Yes.
We did, right?
Oh.
He's a good friend of mine as well. It's just, I like the way he thinks about things, for sure. It's not even the success or anything like that. I just like the way he thinks about things.
What show are you watching right now? TV show?
I just finished up Dexter, which is actually my second time watching it. my dog's actually named after the show.
What's your favorite food?
The worst food in the world for me, pizza, for sure.
Oh, this is number two. I still have some in my car. What book are you reading? Are you reading a book?
I actually am for the third time listening to an audiobook called The Secret.
The Secret. Is there a teacher that inspired you?
Multiple teachers. I think if one were to stick out, it would be my, it sounds weird, my 9th, 10th, and 11th grade teacher, Miss Perkins. She moved her way up in each year, and I got to stick with her all 3 years. She just kind of, she was a role model for me, definitely in education.
Awesome. And what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for the breath that I take every morning when I wake up. I'm grateful for the things that I've been able to do, and I'm grateful for people trusting me to help them with the knowledge that I've figured out. I'm most grateful for my mother, for sure. She's my biggest impact in my life.
Well, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much, Jimbo.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, that was our interview with Jimbo. Jimbo, thank you so much for coming on. That was one of the best interviews I've been a part of.
I
just want to pick his brain.
And I'm serious about coming and watching you coach. I just want to hear, listen to him talk.
I'll get to meet him because Lilith is going to Woodward this summer. So
I want to go for that.
We can come.
55-hour drive.
And do an interview there.
Interesting. Okay, Mr. Kelleher. We're coming for you.
So anyway, thank you guys for listening to podcast number 4. The numbers have been amazing. So I'm utterly grateful. Please share, subscribe, comment, and send us any suggestions. We've got a couple interviews banked up, and it's been, you know, kind of effortlessly.
I know, this is so exciting. So
to get,
please, if you have any other people that you would like to listen to,
yes, send us suggestions.
Absolutely.
And good luck to everyone for this week's competition. We have some big competitions, I know, coming up. What is it? We got Cheer Sport
and NCA in Dallas.
Yep. So congratulations to everyone attending those, and good luck with that.
Get your steps in, because Cheer Sport, you're gonna take a lot of steps. So get ready. Hope you have your shoes on.
And our Cheer Bomb emoji keyboard will be in the Apple and Google stores this week. So please go download it. Text people with the emojis, and let's get those out there to everyone. Because we have been working on this for months, and it has been a labor of love.
We've got to play with them for a little bit.
I have been sending all my friends, you know, pictures, like toe touches and stuff, and they're what? What?
I was sending like a sale, like our day sales for a sale this past weekend with like a needle, and I was like, boom. I'm sure they had no idea what it meant, but in my head, that was an awesome thing.
Well, it all started with, we wanted to produce a product that we thought cheerleaders had been asking for. Mm-hmm. And I know that emojis, cheerleading emojis, competitive cheerleading emojis were something that wasn't available. So we brought it to, and it's our first version, and you know, we're not app developers, but we've learned a lot. Yes. And we will have some other versions coming out later this year. But our first one, our first baby is coming out.
And we're so excited. So
so check that out, and please share that with your friends. Our love challenge for February is, yes, you've got one more weekend to tag a friend, a coach, a pet, yourself in the mirror, whomever you love, and you want to spread a little love, hashtag love cheer bomb. We have a couple more days for you to enter.
Ends on the 20th.
Mm-hmm, and you are entered to win, to be a cheer bomb calendar model.
Yes.
For 2019.
An exclusive bow, which is freaking bedazzled to all of the gods.
Yes. A shirt and a photo shoot.
Yes.
And you'll take over our Snapchat and Instagram for that day. So exciting stuff. And then March is coming up. Our March challenge is going... #cheerbomb going green.
Yes.
And we're going to be just throwing out some facts about how we can love and be respectful towards Mother Earth.
Yes.
And go a little green if we can. So subscribe, follow us on Instagram. We are almost to 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes.
And I've got to say, big ups to us because we haven't bought any, we haven't done any,
no.
What are those things called? Those loops. All almost 900 of you are following us because you want
like,
to.
So, we've done this so honestly and like, I'm proud of it.
So thank you. And so we're going to end this with a quote. Today's quote is from F. Scott Fitzgerald. And this is a quote about beauty. She was beautiful, but not like those girls in the magazines. She was beautiful for the way she thought. She was beautiful for the sparkle in her eyes when she talked about something she loved. She was beautiful for her ability to make other people smile, even if she was sad. No, she wasn't beautiful for something as temporary as her looks. She was beautiful deep down to her soul. I love that.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. You're all beautiful. So, love you. See you next week.
Good luck this weekend.
Good luck. Download the Cheer Bomb emoji keyboard.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Sean, the producer guy, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Cheer Bomb podcast. And be sure to download the Cheer Bomb emoji keyboard from the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. And if you'd like to be part of the podcast or sponsor the podcast, email Marcus and Marisol at officialcheerbomb@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
To Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.